go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined, I'm very pleased to say, by Lizabeth Yore. She is an attorney and highly regarded advocate for international children's rights, that is to say, globally, not just here in the United States. I've come to know her through her work as the head of a terrific campaign entitled End FGM Today. That stands, of course, for Female Genital Mutilation. I'm so impressed by Liz and the work of her campaign and by the need for such an effort to end this scourge as it is being more and more revealed in the course of a highly, highly important prosecution by the federal government in Michigan at the moment. Indeed, we catch up with Liz on the eve of an important development in that case, a ruling expected by the judge. We'll talk about it and its implications with her. But first, let me extend a proper welcome. Elizabeth Yore, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Frank, thank you for having me. It's a delight to be with you today.
Well, it's our pleasure, needless to say, because we're very, very concerned about what's happening in our own country. And Liz, just to calibrate on this, of course, the case in Michigan is a prime focus at the moment, but give us a little context, if you would, first about what is involved in female genital mutilation, and then the extent to which this thing, which if we think about it at all, most of us assume is happening someplace else, but the evidence that it really is a serious scourge here as well.
It is. It has been imported to the United States, Frank, and according to the Center for Disease Control, they estimate that over 500,000 women and girls are at risk of this brutal procedure in the United States alone. I think that's grossly underrepresented, but female genital mutilation, there's four different forms. The least intrusive but most heinous type 1 procedure is a cutting away, a mutilation of the clitoris head of a child, of a little girl from age 5 to 12. This procedure is done. And the purpose is a, you know, a religious practice that is practiced around the world. And according to UNICEF, the World Health Organization, over 200 million girls have been subjected to this procedure. And its purpose, Frank, is to reduce any sexual feeling with respect to sexual relations. It is to, quote unquote, purify a girl.
Let me ask you, at the risk of getting pretty ghoulish about all of this, you mentioned that the least invasive form of this involves removing, either in whole or in part, the clitoris. There are obviously worse forms of this that are much more draconian. How bad can it get? And also, Liz, if you would, just some say, well, this is just involving a nick of the clitoris. This is not that invasive. It's kind of like male circumcision or something. Would you talk about those two points?
Sure. How bad can it get? Excellent question. And it is practiced according to this way. Little girls are literally sewn up. Their genitals are sewn up with a small hole to urinate. As a result of this, these little girls have infections, you know, become quite sick, are hospitalized. The consequences are physical and emotional, last a lifetime. They're brought into emergency rooms, Frank, because of the complications of this procedure.
Because sometimes it's done in the most crude manner and involves a lot of cutting, some say with broken bottles and the like, and without anesthetics. I mean, this is just totally intolerable. And this idea that nicking is really what's involved, what's your experience or knowledge of that?
We're well aware of linguistic lies, as I call them. The nicking, the scraping, you know, trying to, this heinous, brutal practice sexual assault on a child in trying to equate it with male circumcision. It is absolutely a brutal, brutal practice. It is not a nick. It is a cutting that causes enormous bleeding. It is done with crude instruments with no anesthesia. We will see, and we are introduced to those, you know, whether they're defendants trying to defend this practice or oftentimes the left.
Now, this, let me just be clear about this, Liz. The left has for a long time profess to be the defenders of women and their rights. And this would seem to be utterly incompatible with any such posture. Am I missing something?
No, but as you know, Frank, cultural diversity is now number one, way above domestic violence of women, a sexual assault of children. And as a result of that, the left has been silent, largely silent on this issue. We've seen the ACLU advocate on behalf of protecting this procedure in the hands of immigrants. And it's shocking to me, you know, the feminists who portray themselves as protecting women and little girls in this sexual assault world that we are seeing unfolding are virtually silent.
Yeah. Liz, speaking of sexual assault, I understand that next week in this case in Michigan, the defense is going to try to get the judge, the presiding judge, to strip out one of the charges, and a particularly important one, in which this brutal behavior, there are several girls most immediately now have been mutilated and this case involves, but I gather there are a lot more apparently also who have been mutilated by this ring that is alleged to have done this thing. Talk, if you would, about this whole issue of sexual assault. And is that not absolutely what this involves?
At NFGM today, my team of child advocates are really tracking closely this important prosecution of first impression. And we're learning a lot because on Tuesday, Frank, in federal court in Detroit, where there are eight defendants, they're facing various charges relating to a conspiracy to commit female genital mutilation. The court is going to rule on the defendant's motion, whether count six of what is a superseding indictment. For the layman, this means that they are continuing to uncover more and more victims. They're arguing that this count six, which deals with the defendants, Dr. Nagawale, who has been responsible for FGM on at least six victims, and the owner of the clinic with conspiring to transport minor victims from Minnesota to Michigan for the purposes of engaging in the abuse of female genital mutilation. Now, the defendants, Frank, are asking the court to dismiss this charge because they say that there is no evidence that these defendants were, quote unquote, sexually gratified when performing the procedure of female genital mutilation on these girls. This is a standard of proof, Frank, that is not required under the statute. The statute said all they have to prove is that these children were degraded, abused, or humiliated. And clearly, the facts support that. But this is the thing that we're learning a lot about, Frank. We're learning about what I call the underground trafficking network of female genital mutilators, the conspiracy. And it's no wonder that it's taken 21 years since the federal female genital mutilation was passed in Congress to finally see a prosecution.
Yeah, the prohibition on it has gone unenforced to this point, contributing, I'm afraid, to the kind of widespread problem that you've talked about, Liz Yore. And I just have to say, the idea that this isn't sexual assault because the perpetrators didn't get some pleasure from it kind of misses the point that it sure must have seemed like assault on the little girls who have been brutally violated in this fashion. Liz, we are hard out of time. We have to go. I know this won't be our last conversation about this. I, again, appreciate so much the work you're doing at EndFGM Today. Folks, find more about it at endfgmtoday.com. Liz Yore, glad to have you with us, and I know you'll come back to us, and I hope the rest of you will do the same Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.